Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Computer Weekly Downtime Upload Podcast. I'm Cliff Sarin and my guest today is Renal Bothiju, who's the Chief Data and Analytics Officer at Lloyds Banking Group. Renal, thanks for joining me today. Let me start by asking you a little bit about artificial intelligence, because it's in the news everywhere, and it would be rude not for me to ask you about artificial intelligence.
So, look, I'd probably start by saying it's probably just worthwhile trying to differentiate between different types of artificial intelligence. So firstly, banks have been using artificial intelligence for many years. We've been using all sorts of machine learning algorithms for things like credit risk assessments, fraud screening, for probably more than 15 years. We've been using chatbots, which are again another form of artificial intelligence, for about at least 10 years. So artificial intelligence per se is a very well used capability in financial services. What's new though is basically generative AI and agentic AI. The generative AI, burst on the scene late 2022 with ChatGPT. So it's been about almost 2.5 years now.
Yes.
And that's effectively what we're sort of treating differently is how are we using basically generative AI. And now it's sort of follow on agentic AI. So we need to, think about things like model performance. Are we using the right algorithm? Transparency, ethics, guardrails, how we deploy. So those things are common to both large language models and traditional AI. What's new though is generative AI. We have some, quite specific challenges in financial service in that we are a regulated industry. Generative AI can often lead to, things like hallucinations. So we're very cautious and careful about how we expose large language models directly to customers. And so we put a lot of effort into ensuring that, the outputs of the large language models are correct and accurate, that we can stand by them, that they're transparent, that there's no bias. But really the correctness that, the models aren't hallucinating, that's probably one of the key things that as a regulated industry that we need to be really cognizant of.
I think you've half answered my second question, but specifically you are regulated, and how then do you keep on the right side of the financial conduct authority but while still being able to innovate and use large language models and generative AI?
Sure. So look, we've been on this path at Lloyds Banking Group for about, since late 2022. So as I said, ChatGPT burst on the scene in November of 22. Almost immediately, teams across the bank, all over the bank, started to use large language models to solve actual problems. So quite different to the previous technology false dawns. So, if you think about quantum and blockchain, these are very top-down, metaverse driven by innovation teams. Large language models, very different. Organically, teams started to use them. So we realized, this thing is real. And so in terms of, how we've sort of tried to approach this in a way that, addresses the risk. So the starting point for us was to say, we could focus these, capabilities on customer outcomes. We could focus them on colleagues, or we could focus them on internal back office. And
yes,
what we said was, until we're really comfortable about the guardrails, let's focus the use cases on internal back office related use cases, or where they're dealing with a colleague. And in both cases, let's ensure we have a human in the loop, right? So that was our first, a safeguard was, all of the use cases were internal or colleagues facing, and all of them had a human to really assess the outcome. And we said we'd continue with that approach as until such time we are really confident in the guardrails. So we're not going to expose large language models directly to customers until we have a solution that we feel really confident in around addressing specifically hallucinations. So that's the one thing that we had to be very careful of in the context of financial services.
And sorry, Ranil, if you Just to stop you there for a second and briefly to ask you this, but where are you in terms of that level of maturity with the guardrails and the risk of and being able to identify and limit the impact of hallucinations?
Yeah, sure. Really good question. So, look, this is something that we've focused on for the last couple of years. And really the approach that that we use, as do most other banks, is to really think about, you know, using a series of different models. So you may have a specific model or agent that comes up with a specific outcome. And then what we'll do is we'll develop different models and different agents to then review those outcomes and effectively score them. And, you know, we call this approach agent as a judge, right? So you may have, you know, a set of models reviewing the outputs to see, do these align with, you know, conduct rules? Do these align with our own internal regulations? Do these align with FCA guidelines? Do these align with the tone? So really the approach is to say each outcome is then independently assessed by a set of different models that will then test for these things. And that's effectively almost replicating the human in the loop. That's effectively the core approach that we're using.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you. Please carry on. It's very interesting. You're sort of but the human in the loop, does it still exist?
Yeah, we do. So there's still many use cases where fairly simple. So for example, right, we use we have started to use various language models to generate code, right? So you know, we use products like, you know, GitHub Copilot. We've got our own sort of tools as well, where effectively code is generated. The software engineer can then start build on that code, but then all of that code is then reviewed independently by different people. So, and that's a standard process that we have. So that's definitely one approach. Another approach might be, you know, if we have a specific recommendation around how we, you know, summarize data for a credit memo, a human being will review all of that, right? So, okay. So the human in the loop is definitely something that we use, and regardless of where we get to with some of these agent as a judge approach, there is still very much a place for human in the loop in the future as well.
Okay, just moving on to the next question. So I understand that. You've been working with Avini. I mean, how did that come about, and when did you start working with them?
Yeah, so we were very interested in working with Avini for a couple of reasons, right? So the first is, you know, as you know, right, a lot of the foundation models have been trained on the entire corpus of the internet, right? So they've been trained on literally lots and lots of data, not all of it relevant to financial services. And, you know, one of the hypotheses is, you know, if you restrict it to financial services specific data, you're less likely to hallucinate, right? So the answers are going to be more. So one of the reasons was, we felt quite strongly that we wanted to start to use a language model or a group of models that were specifically trained on financial services data relevant to the UK, right? So that was kind of one of the reasons. That's a very attractive reason. The second is, you know, we really support an open approach to foundation models, right? We don't want to be tied down to one model. There are some amazing capabilities from Google's Gemini, from, you know, the OpenAI GPT models, but there's also a fantastic ecosystem of open source models that we want to encourage. And in the context of that, the idea that we could create a fin LLM that is UK centric, that is kind of in the UK, that is also something very appealing to us from an AI sovereignty approach. So we don't want to be limited to, you know, these large hyperscaler models. We felt having UK specific models trained on financial services data, but also specific to the UK and also UK sovereign, is something that as a bank, as a UK bank, you know, that we're a cornerstone of the UK. That's something we felt we really wanted to support.
Okay, you mentioned fin LLM. Just for the purposes, you know, of explaining that to our listeners and to the readers of Computer Weekly, what is fin LLM?
Yeah, look, effectively, I describe it as a foundation model that has been specifically trained on financial services data that's specific to the UK. So when, if you think about, Google's Gemini or OpenAI, so they're experts in everything. They're generalists. They've been trained on everything. And so when they, if you ask it a question, if you prompt it, the outcome, the outputs will be based on its knowledge of everything. Now with FinLLM, it's much more specific to financial services data. And so the likelihood, or this is the hypothesis and this is what we're testing, the likelihood that it will generate an outcome that is wrong in the context of financial services is going to be a lot less.
Okay, so I mean, how are you testing FinLLM?
Yeah, so look, basically we call it a shootout. So we are the number of different tests. So we have a number of use cases up and running. So one of them is to compare the outputs of a generic foundation model. So we could work with any number of the big models, whether it's OpenAI, whether it's Gemini or Mistral. We can compare the outputs of that versus, and with those models, where we fine-tune them on data versus what will we get if we use FinLLM? And, you know, effectively, you know, we'd expect to see the FinLLM model being a lot more successful.
Yes. Okay, so we're talking about FinLLM. Will you be deploying this technology in the business? Is there like a roadmap to have it being rolled out?
Yeah, so the first use case was, we have some internal bot capabilities that we built. Mm-hmm. So the first one that is basically now deployed is one with our audit team. So we have lots and lots of audits across the bank, mm-hmm. and there's some incredible information inside around those audit outcomes, but it's quite difficult to analyze them. They're all buried in reports and PDFs. So we've created an audit bot that effectively can, we've fed it all of our audit data, but it's also the FinLLM. So it's the combination of, training it on the audit data plus it being FinLLM. We've now exposed that to auditors or to people across the bank, and they can then now ask questions that relate to any of the audits, and they'll get some, fantastic answers, where the risk of, hallucinations is a lot less. So that's kind of the first use case.
Yes.
I guess the more important ones for us, though, is where we want to build, agent as a judge, right? So, we will be using we have a very open approach to foundation models and large language models, even small language models. We want to use all of these. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be tied down to a single provider, a single model. Okay. But in the context of agent as a judge, mm-hmm. we felt that using FinLLM from Aveni and actually kind of creating a capability to oversight and review the outputs of the other models is a really good way to, double check, triple check that we're not going to be giving customers poor advice. So we're in the process of really refining these guardrails. And these are, for me, it's an imperative that we have these in place before we expose any of these capabilities to customers. We want to make sure that, we can, we've aligned with FCA guidelines, conduct guidelines, all our internal regulations. So it's really the AI as a judge piece that we're working on now. That's the partnership that we're working on really closely with Aveni.
I'm sorry, I've just got a follow up on that. So the AI, the FinLLM acting as a judge. You were talking earlier about the idea that FinLLM is more likely to have less hallucinations because it's trained on UK financial services data. It sort of knows everything about UK financial services, right? Now, why then would you train it on other models? Why use other models if you got FinLLM?
Sure. Yeah. So there are other models that are much better at understanding human behavior, like human syntax, mm-hmm. right? So if you want to understand a conversation, if you want to be like, what is this customer saying? What do they mean? All of the different mediums. There are really strong models, right? So we would, for example, potentially use one of the big hyperscaler models like a ChatGPT-5 or a Gemini, mm-hmm. to understand what is the customer actually saying. Yes. We would use different models and break down what they're saying into component parts, different models to then respond to each of those different requests, right? So the way that we think about this is there are, you know, different models, they've got different strengths, mm-hmm. and what we want to do is use the best model for each individual task. That's effectively the approach that we want to take, and that's effectively where the whole world of agentic AI takes us. It's breaking down problems into smaller and smaller parts, using different agents to basically respond to those. And in the context of that, the work to really check the outcomes, to assess them, almost acting like a second line colleague, or you know, one of the, you know, an observer, right? Or that we felt is a really good place to test out Finn LLM.
So you're talking about having some kind of, you know, I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, but in the context of a customer facing chatbot, there'll be some specialist language in there beyond the conversation that the customer is having, right? You know, it's gonna, you'll want to ask questions. I'm making things up, but I could give you an example that I had a few weeks ago, not from the Lloyds Banking Group, but it was trying to find something around a closed ISA account, you know, that had closed and I completely deleted it, and I need some data from it. And it was a difficult thing that the chatbot would not have been able to understand and do that. Unfortunately, I had to speak to a real person in that case. So it's interesting that we're talking about agentic. So would the AI almost be able to, or what's the word I'm looking for, orchestrate and understand that, well, I can't do this, I could pass it on to another model that can do this?
100%, yeah. So we'll have one model, or you know, one agent to understand the question, mm-hmm. one model to then orchestrate. So I break down the different components of that question, pass them out to the right submodels. Mm-hmm. They will answer those individual questions. So there's a set of models that we use for that. And then finally, checking the outcomes, right? So is what we've said back to the customer, who consolidated all this, are there any red flags there? Have we used the right language? Mm. Is there anything that's going to breach compliance? Is there anything going to breach regulation? Yeah. Are there any customer duty outcomes that we've missed? That's where we feel there's going to be a strong role for the capabilities that Aveni has.
And how do you see technology like Finn LLM being used and evolving the way we deal with financial services, and you know, how financial services are delivered going forward?
Yeah, so for me, like I feel it's a fantastic way to democratize incredibly brilliant guidance and advice, right? So if you think about the world of 30 or 40 years ago, your branch manager knew you and was able to give you very, very specific advice and guidance. Mm. Now, in today's world, firstly, right, that model just isn't scalable. If you think about the world of financial planning, right, most people in the UK cannot afford to see a financial planner. And then secondly, there's, you know, the number of trained financial planners is minuscule compared to the need. And so really, these sorts of capabilities, if you have the confidence to understand what people need, give them the right guidance, and then assess whether that guidance is, satisfies all of the conduct and FCA guidelines. For me, that's a brilliant way to scale, basically service much, much more broadly across society. So that's what I'm really excited about, is that this will really unlock. It'll be a great unlock for the UK in terms of giving access to high quality, financial guidance to a much broader and larger set of the population. So getting these guardrails in place and working well is absolutely critical.
I do have one sort of slight follow-up, and I was thinking about it, and it seems a bit funny if I was looking at my own online banking app and thinking, well, you know, this thing knows a lot about what I spend my money on, probably far too much being spent in a particular pub that's a few doorsteps away from me. And I can see how technology like that could be deployed in a way that might seem a little bit intrusive. or the truth is, you know, if it tells you the truth, you're spending far too much on this sort of thing than saving your hard-earned cash.
Yeah, so look, consent is the key thing for us. So basically, that kind of, and we've got those sorts of capabilities, like chat with spend, right? So the ability to understand your spend and find out what you spent on, right? These should be opt-in, right? So customers should use and access these only if they've opted in. We'd never basically analyze customer spending and give them this sort of guidance if they didn't want us to do that, right? So everything should have an opt-in and an opt-out approach. That's the way to ensure that we're able to, what's the word I want to use? You know, basically be mindful of each individual customer's preferences. So I think this is the key thing is, all of these capabilities, they should be available if customers consent to using them. Some people will, some people won't. There are lots of things that drive that preference.
Well, Ranil, thank you ever so much for taking part in today's podcast. And thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.